Whenever I'm down, I call on you, my friend. I call on you, my friend. I call on you, my friend.
Listen, listen.
WGN. This is Red Eye Remix. I'm Amy Goose. Thanks for being with us this very chilly evening. I really hope you're not out and about. I hope that you're all inside, bundled up, and just, you know, spooning with your radio is what I hope, because it is darn cold. Right before the show, esteemed producer Kate Gibson and I were out and about, and we were freezing our buns off. We were basically complaining up and down Michigan Avenue because it's so darn cold outside. 2 degrees.
Nope.
Yeah, no.
That's a whole bag of nope.
You know, the thing is, we sign up for it. You know, we live here. We know it gets darn cold here in Chicago. And we love the city so much we're willing to put up with crap like 2 degrees. But, ugh, man, does it hurt. At one point tonight, walking around, like, I felt like I got punched in the chest because it was just so darn cold. You can't even.
Right. Nope.
You just can't even. Good times. So how you doing?
I'm excellent.
Welcome back. We missed you last week.
I missed you guys last week.
But you were not in freezing weather.
No.
You were in warm weather.
Oh, it was so warm and pretty.
You were in California.
I was in California visiting my fam.
Mm-hmm. Your pictures on Facebook were super cute.
Yeah, I have some pretty cute nieces.
You do. Their little faces are adorbs, as you say.
Soup totes
adorbs. Well, welcome back to the freezing
Thank
weather
you.
We
I
sit.
Know. I'm so happy that I was in flip-flops last week, and now I'm in Uggs.
I know. You know, Red Eye editor Kristen Samuelson is in Puerto Rico right now.
Yep, hate her, too.
She has been, her Instagram and Facebook just covered with these beautiful pictures of warm, beautiful beaches. I'm like, ooh. It's all good. It's
hey,
what happens.
What do we got going on tonight?
Oh, my gosh. We got so much fun stuff going on tonight. We have Robert Duffer. He writes all
Love
about
that guy.
Car stuff. He is a funny guy. He is a really funny guy. He's kind of a man about town, and he's done lots of cool stuff with the literary world of Chicago. And but he's also, he writes all about all the auto stuff going on in the world. So this is kind of his Super Bowl right now with the Chicago Auto Show kicking off. And he's going to talk to us all about that and some cool stuff, because there's a lot of neat stuff. We think about just cars just lined up. But no, there's some really, really neat stuff going on at the over there at the McCormick place with lots of cool cars, including like a glow-in-the-dark car. Because that's a thing you need.
Right.
Why not? Headlights? Nope. I'm going to have glow-in-the-dark.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to swing through, and we're going to talk all about that. We have someone from Vavoom Pinups coming in.
Ooh. What?
It's all about, it's a, she calls it an empowering photo experience for women, and it's all like throwback to the 40s and 50s kind of look.
Like legit
pinups. Yeah.
Sweet.
So they have a studio here in Chicago, and they transform people at a photo shoot to look like a pinup. And they're very, like, body positive. And
I have to go.
What, you're going to go be a pinup now? Right now?
In the middle of the night?
Yeah, their website is really cool, and they have lots of, you know, a lot of their work is out on the website. And you can just tell, like, that's a... It's a whole lot of different kinds of women, right? It's not just one body type. It's not, you know, it's a lot of different looks. Speaking of different looks, did you see the pictures of Cindy Crawford rolling around?
Whoa.
Good on her.
Yeah.
Right? Good on her.
I agree.
You know, okay, so what happened was Cindy Crawford, very, very beautiful woman, kind of like leaked some pictures from a photo shoot before they were retouched. And she's like, look, I've had some kids. I've had
how old is she? 50? She's not 50.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, I think she may be. She's like 1 year on either side of it. She's either 49 or 51. I don't think she's 50 on the nose. But you know what? She looks freaking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, hey, look, this is what it looks like when you don't Photoshop my stomach and when you don't, you know, Photoshop my boobs and all that and my skin and make it look glowy. Like, here's what I actually look like. And she looks awesome.
I want that stomach when I'm 35, let alone, you know,
I was like,
pushing 50.
Cindy Crawford, I'd love to say you're brave, but also you look really, really hot, so it's easy for you to, quote-unquote, be brave, right? So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Alec Baldwin of this show,
right?
Our friends from ManBQ, or at least one-third of ManBQ, is coming through to talk about a new project. It's going to be awesome.
Hmm.
It's going to be good. So we got to take a break, and when we come back, we're talking about the auto show. So stick around. It'll be good. 720 WGN. This is Red Eye Remix. I'm Amy Booth. Thanks for being with us. And producer Kate, thanks for playing that awesome song, because it is a perfect one. Because
yeah,
right now, right here in Chicago, it is like the Super Bowl of automotive times right now, with the Chicago Auto Show happening, taking up a lot of space and stuff. Oh my gosh, it's huge. It's not just a bunch of cars parked. I mean, it is a big, big thing over at McCormick Place. And here to talk about that is Chicago Tribune's Robert Duffer. He knows all about cars. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. It is a 9-day automotive party.
It's huge, and there's so much stuff, and it's so interesting to watch on social media because of just all the stuff and all the different brands, you know, tweeting and posting and streaming and doing all this cool stuff. So to get into, let's start with this. What are you most excited about this year? What is super cool about the differentiating about the auto show this year?
There's a lot more supercars than last year.
What is a supercar?
A supercar is the kind of car that young people, boys and girls both, put posters on their on their childhood rooms, and they dream about
like
them.
A big sexy car,
big monstrous engines, completely impractical. They're race cars that probably aren't legal for the street. But you look at them, I mean, they are actually, even
they
though
are
some,
in fact
some
street
of them
legal.
Shouldn't be. And you fantasize about them, and they cost $200,000 to $300,000, and they're not the kind of car that 99% of the people will ever buy. And they only make, like, maybe a production run of 1,000 at the most of certain models. So there's a bunch there. And it's in addition to the Pirillo Supercar Garage, which every year they have this wonderful collection of dream cars, supercars, like the Bugatti Veyron, which runs for $2.5 million.
A car?
This is a car. It's
Kate is in there doing some like cheerleading stuff because she's a big fan of that car right there.
It's a beautiful car.
Pretty. Doesn't a Veyron? I just watched Top Gear today. Doesn't it have a V8? Or is it bigger than a V8? It's a V12.
I think it's 12. It might be 10.
It's so loud and it purrs and it's pretty and it's
You want one?
It's like 800. Like on Top Gear, they said it was 800,000 pounds. So whatever that is in America, that's like $1 million to buy that car.
The one on display is $2.5 million.
Oh God!
But chump change. In addition to that,
Kate, you better get yourself a little jar, a little mason jar for your pennies there, doll.
So in addition to that, it's way in the back corner by the BMW stage. And in addition to that, so there's McLarens, Ferraris, Rolls Royce, Bentleys, but then. The individual automakers that are known for cars that are not so expensive, such as the Ford Focus or the Acura RDX, these automakers, Ford and Acura in particular, both just launched their supercars, which have been much anticipated. The Ford GT, I was there tonight. There were crowds all night long. It's a stunning car. And then the Acura NSX was also much delayed and finally debuted in the Detroit Auto Show. It's been brought to Chicago. And these were drawing a lot of crowds. But despite all the eye candy, the great thing about the Chicago Auto Show, more than any other auto show, is it's so interactive. Like, you got kids of people of all ages in any background going in and out of the cars. Like the Volkswagen Golf, for instance, people were crowding that all night long.
A golf,
okay. And it's 2015 is the year of the golf.
Who knew?
Well, some people.
Volkswagen, apparently.
It's a North American Car of the Year award. Won Motor Trend's Car of the Year award. It's winning everything.
And it's electric, there is an electric one. There's an electric golf.
There's an e-golf, yeah.
An e-golf. All right.
That's the electric one.
So, are you seeing a lot more? I mean, obviously, you're seeing a lot more electric cars this year. What are kind of the standouts among that group?
Well, there's a lot of plug-ins coming out, but they haven't been getting the press that they have in years past.
Okay.
Largely, I think, because even though with all electrics and fuel prices, they don't really correlate, they do much more with hybrids. Anytime fuel prices go down, hybrid sales go down with it, but that's not the case with electrics. The Germans are now bringing out a lot more electrics. Mercedes is rolling out 12 plug-in models, 10 or 12, I believe, in the next 4 years. So, like, every 3 months or every 4 months, they'll have a new model out. In addition, BMW and Volkswagen are rolling out more and more. They just formed a partnership to start to make charging infrastructure on the road on the East Coast.
See, that's what that's really the problem, because you know you get an electric car, but you're so limited about charging. Really strangely, one day I ordered up an Uber and a Tesla pulls up. And I'm like, rock and roll. This is the best Uber ever. It was just a regular Uber.
A Tesla Uber.
And I got into a conversation with this driver, and he said, you know what? I really wanted to own a Tesla, and I knew there was just no job I could get quickly upon moving to Chicago that would allow me to buy a Tesla. So I decided to just make it a business expense. And this guy just drives around in his awesome Tesla all day. So between, you know, Lincoln Park and downtown, my ride, we were talking about this, and he said, the downside is the charging part, like the, you know, where to put it, what to do where. And he was saying, I think Walgreens locations, I don't know if all of them, but many of them have an electric charging station. But otherwise, he had to kind of like book it way up to Northbrook or somewhere where the Tesla dealership is.
Yeah, and that's a different beast if you're having an all-electric Uber service, and he's using Uber to pay off his Tesla, which seems counterintuitive.
It's all weird. You know what he was really doing? He was not only paying off his Tesla, but he was also using it to kind of launch his car service business. So he, at the end of it, was kind of like, I'm not going to give you a card, but I happen to have cards here, and if you want to take one and ever need a lift to the airport in a Tesla, here you go.
That is an expensive base cost.
It really
for a business.
It's a lot of startup.
At $80,000. But interestingly about Tesla, so the Model S, the range for the P85 is 265 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what just happened in January at the Detroit Auto Show, well, actually it happened, GM introduced what's called the Chevy Bolt, and it was a concept. It was a 200-mile range, all-electric, compact car. It's kind of a crossover. That's supposed to start at $30,000 after the federal tax credit and the state rebates. So it was a concept, right? Now, they also announced that the Chevy Volt, which is in its second generation, it was introduced in 2010. That got redesigned. It seats five, but there's still a hump, still some complaints. But that has a 50-mile range. It also has a gas generator, so you can... It solves the range anxiety problem.
Sure.
This 200-mile range compact is officially going into production. And that could very well change the landscape for the mass adoption of electrics. Now, there's a lot that needs to be done.
Yeah, sure.
But if they can pull it off, that'll be really interesting. But some of the bigger highlights and the more practical things, more immediate things that are happening at the show, there's a lot of small crossovers that are coming out. And then the show itself, like, even if you're not in the market for a car, it's a blast. There's three indoor test tracks, okay? You can go on Camp Jeep, which is in the back, and you can ride a Jeep Wrangler. You can ride a Grand Cherokee. You go up this 35-degree incline, and you're like, I mean, you're pitched back in the seat, and then you rumble over rocks. You rumble over logs.
Wow.
You go up on two wheels. And then the Camry has a similar test track, which is really, to be frank, boring.
What are you driving up in a Camry?
And then there's six outdoor test drives in the indoor tracks, you're riding along with a professional, which is good.
Sure.
You want that with...
I don't want to be a 35-degree angle.
You want that
and
with hundreds of thousands of people around you in this 1 million square feet of space. Then there's just six outdoor tracks where test drives, where like Kia, Mazda, Ford, Subaru, Toyota. You can drive six or seven of those models each outdoor, like in the campus around McCormick Place.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and then there's like a dozen race simulators. So you get, you want to, like, you're driving all these different cars, you're playing with everything. Test it out a little bit,
sure.
But you can't. So you strap on these goggles or you get in these race sleds and you crash into a wall.
You go right to it.
That's right.
Nice. Well, so with all, to kind of back up to like the hybrid and electric car for a minute, though, are we seeing more SUV happening now that, you know, we have a little bit, you know, because everybody kind of got rid of their SUV because it was such a gas guzzler, right, when gas prices really started to surge. But now that we have more, you know, access to electric and all that, are we seeing that? I mean, I think Mitsubishi, didn't they have like a new thing that came out that everybody was acting very weirdly about on Twitter? I didn't see it, but I saw everyone tweeting weird things about this Mitsubishi SUV.
It was an elephant disguised as an SUV.
All right.
No,
what does
but
that mean?
It's a concept. It was, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's not even, I mean, Mitsubishi barely has a pulse in the United States, but maybe they'll return the SUV or the Montero back. Maybe it'll become something like the Montero. But what's really happening, more so than plug-ins, is all the automakers across the board are finding better ways to improve mileage, with the internal combustion engine. Sometimes it's pairing it with a motor, an electric motor. More often than not, it's the use of direct injection, turbochargers, and really, more than anything, lightweighting, which Ford has been kind of at the forefront of.
Righto. All right, we got to take a quick break. We got to go to news. We got to do all kind of stuff. When we come back, more auto show. If you have questions about cars, cool stuff happening at the Chicago Auto Show that's happening right now at McCormick Place, call, ask Robert Duffer, because he is here. He is the guy that knows. 312-981-7200. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. 720 WGN. WGN. This is Red Eye Remix. I'm Amy Guth. We're rocking out to every auto-themed song that we know tonight because we're talking about the Chicago Auto Show, which is happening at McCormick Place until February the 22nd, and there's a lot of cool stuff going on, and we're talking with Robert Duffer. He's the guy at Chicago Tribune who knows all about the auto show, and you're basically camping out there every day, aren't you? You're pretty much like there.
There are so many auto-related songs. Every Wednesday on our Facebook page, we do a earworm hump day song where you have to guess what the lyric is.
On the Chicago Tribune Auto page?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, nice.
So many songs dating back.
Give me three.
So far, I can't.
Kate, you too. You're like the encyclopedia.
All right, there's
the first one that came to mind is embarrassing.
Why?
Because it wrapped up like a deuce.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go Little Red Corvette.
Of course.
Little GTO.
Social Distortion's got the one.
Ooh, that's it. Yeah.
Oh, Deuce Coop. Who sang that? Was that the Beach Boys, Little Deuce Coop?
Sure.
I don't know. It's hard for me to say Deuce Coop.
I had a page open because I was using the Google. Let's find out.
Yeah, that was the Beach Boys. Let's go. Gosh, there's a whole list.
Yeah.
So many.
Pink Cadillac, the Bruce Springsteen cover, Maybelline by Chuck Berry? That's a car? I thought that was a woman.
Yeah. No, that's definitely a car.
We have Mustang Sally, Wilson Pickett.
Yeah, Radar Love. Isn't that a car song?
That's a good song, Radar Love.
there's Kickstart My Heart, Motley Crue.
Well,
wow,
sure.
Busting out the crew. Love it.
What else we got? Woody Guthrie, car song.
Oh, Woody Guthrie.
I Can't Drive.
Oh, no.
There she goes. She leans away from her mic to do that one.
On the Road Again, classic.
Oh, that's super classic.
You know, and at the auto show, so like...
Can we focus, ladies, and stop talking about these damn car songs?
In Detroit, which is the world's most anticipated auto show, happens in January every year, international journalists from all over the place, even Antarctica, believe it, there's a distinct techno vibe, right? So they start these press conferences at 7 in the morning, and it's like techno music until night. And you go to the club, whereas Chicago, it's all rock and roll.
Sure.
Makes a hometown boy proud.
That's right. Absolutely. Hey, so, but speaking of technology and whatnot, talk to me a little bit about what you see at the auto show right now about, this year with that, you know, there's so much that you can buy kind of in car already, right? You can sync your iPhone, you can do all this cool stuff. What is happening there this year?
Well, the two biggest developments in the automotive industry right now are advanced safety features and in-car connectivity. Every automaker has their own system that connects navigation, phone, audio, different apps that can be downloaded. And some of the more maybe savvy automakers, like Honda is the first one to announce that they're having a partnership with Google's Android Drive, I believe it's called, and Apple CarPlay. So they're going to offer them both. So what you found, in J.D. Power initial quality survey responses, which are taken 90 days after someone buys a new car, what has repeatedly been the biggest complaint, you know, back in the day used to be, you talk about how it handled.
Sure.
How it drove, how it accelerated. Now it's like voice recognition.
Oh, interesting.
And what most car owners are upset about, and for good reason, is that the voice recognition is brutal. I mean, you're lucky to get, if you say
something.
Yeah.
I hate mine.
Well, yeah, but I mess with yours because I text you, text filled with emoticons, and it doesn't know what to call.
Different.
Or not emoticons, emojis, and it doesn't know what to call
that's
them.
That's different. That's through my phone. My car, if I say, if I want to call you from my car, mm-hmm. I have to say, call Amy Guth.
Rude.
Right? It doesn't know who Amy Guth is. Like, it'll pull up, a list of different names. It's really annoying.
Yeah,
and then it'll say, do you want to call her? Yes.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
like I
didn't hear
call.
You.
Ooh.
Do you want to call her?
That's annoying.
Yes.
And there's an expectation that, and for good reason again, there's an expectation that our car's infotainment systems should operate like our phones, because that's what we're used to. Smartphones,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So what's happening with especially Apple CarPlay and Google Android Drive is you plug the phone in, and that's it. You use your phone. So you're talking to a Siri facsimile, and the fidelity is wonderful. And you're using the same, you're using Apple Maps, which,
mm-hmm. yeah,
better or worse, but if you have Android, you're using Google Maps instead of relying on the navigation system. So in the case of Hyundai, who's rolling it out, I believe in the third quarter of 2015, you don't have to purchase that extra navigation package because you'll plug it into your phone. You'll plug your phone into your car, and Google Maps will come up. So you don't need navigation.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's
you don't need
cool.
to pay for that extra suite. Now, on the other end of it, automakers want to have control over what they're
mm-hmm.
selling,
sure,
what they're responsible
sure.
for. So like GM's the 4LGT network
mm-hmm.
is,
yeah.
is pretty good. Their voice commands are one of the best in the market. They're doing a really good job. Chrysler's Uconnect, which is in Jeep and Dodge products as well, is good. Audis and BMW are pretty good. But then the rest of them, it's all middling.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be, if your main source of interaction with your car is through this touchscreen or through your voice commands on the steering wheel, because you're not driving aggressively or whatever, it's not about the throttle, it's not about the braking, those things we expect to be
mm-hmm.
good, it can be really frustrating. To go back and forth and have to go through a list of back and forth call and prompts where it's like, I'm sorry, I don't understand the boom.
Yeah, and the it gets so I have an Android phone and my phone gets confused. Like I hook it up to my car, if I want to play, Google Play or something, if I want to have music in the car. And if I get a text message, the speakers don't know what to do because my phone is trying to talk to me, but the music is too loud and I can't it's all over the place.
Hmm.
Now, and so I said GM was good, but the best one on the market is, it's not a car maker. They're a technology company that makes cars and it's Tesla. You have a 17x11-inch screen. Anything you say and want, it does. And it's your climate control. It's your seat adjustment. It opens the trunk. Everything is right on there, and so you get a huge map.
It is it is giant, that screen. It's
yeah,
like the
17
big,
inches by 11
it's huge.
Inches. Yeah.
That's a newspaper sign. It's humongous. It looks.
It's a newspaper.
But it's a gorgeous car.
You know what else?
Man, you ain't kidding.
Yeah.
I noticed. I read GM is making your car a Wi-Fi hotspot now.
Yeah.
You can make your car a hotspot. Why do that? Why not just make your phone a hotspot? Don't you have to pay extra? Do you have to pay extra for that?
There's bundled services, so the first 3 months are free.
Of course.
And then, they got you. No, but I think it's because if you go through I don't know for sure, but if you go through a dead zone with your phone, or if you run out of power, then you can just plug it in. Wouldn't you be able to?
I would assume.
GM says that you can connect up to 7 devices.
See, that's where it is. That way you can turn and hand your laptop to your kid in the back and be like, watch the cartoon. Shut up. On a road trip. Right?
We're not there yet.
Don't ask me again. Just watch the dang cartoons. That is it. I will turn this car over.
those offerings, those options, apparently it's what customers want because we keep buying them up.
That's true.
And everyone wants to be the first to satisfy the millennial buyer,
mm-hmm.
And that's one way to do it. And then there's some other interesting things that are happening. And along with, the technology that connects you with your devices, there's also these advanced safety features like forward collision alerts and lane
yeah.
assist.
No,
and
yeah. Interestingly, that's something that hasn't really been on my radar until recently as my parents are starting to age and need it, right? And so they have a, what do they have? They have a Volvo SUV type thing.
XC90?
I think so, maybe. And they, like my dad is getting where he'll just sort of, oh, I meant to show you this thing on my phone. You know, he'll just like, hey, you're, eyes on the road, eyes on the road. Let's, come on, you know. Or, oh, darn, that's my exit. And he'll just kind of go. So they have that, like, it'll, I'm not sure exactly how it works, but it'll, as you drift into a lane, if your turn signal is not on, it will alert you very loudly that you are drifting into another lane. But yeah. It's an interesting one. And then, the first thing I ever saw with kind of safety features was in the Lincoln MKX, I think, like about maybe 5 or 6 years ago, that like the rear camera, right? When that first kind of happened, I was like, well, that's kind of cool. But now it's like you've got that, don't you, Kate? You've got that in your
backup camera?
Yeah. You've got that.
Well, and these are all, they're all part and parcel of the same sort of evolution that's happening. And that, okay, so rear view cameras are going to be mandated in all 2018 mm-hmm. models. So automakers are voluntarily rolling them out because they're going to have to anyway. And they help, but they're no replacement for
a human.
They're an enhancement, but they're not mm-hmm. a replacement for looking over your shoulder. And so what you have with all these safety features is automakers are getting more and more confident, more and closer to what's being called the self-driving car, mm-hmm. which anyone who follows cars has heard plenty about.
Sure, and this year on the way to the Consumer Electronics Show, there was the, what was that car? I don't remember what the model was.
It was the Mercedes F 15 Luxury in Motion.
So a person was in the car, but it was controlled, and it was self-driving, and I think that guy just hung out.
Has four bucket seats that can turn to face each other, so you can have like a board meeting while it's driving. But I mean, this is way far away. So Honda just released this really cool video where they had seven in a row at highway speed, and then the drivers, these stunt drivers, all got out. Jumped out, and they set all the safety features, and mm-hmm. the cars all stopped in a row. Now, this was highly orchestrated.
Sure.
Google is becoming a significant player in the conversation on self-driving cars. They've been doing self-driving programs for a while now. Everyone is saying, well, by 2025, you're going to have self-driving cars on the roads that are ready to handle these challenges. And you look at this, and then you have wintertime in Chicago.
See?
And your backup camera can't see anything.
Right.
You got snow, filth, muck. So you're going to have 16 sensors in the body of the car and all over the car. They're going to be integrated into the car. They're not going to be that roving eye that's on top mm-hmm. of the Google prototypes now.
Yeah.
But you have all these sensors. How do you keep them clean?
Surely
there's a technology, but is that technology cost-effective right now, and are we going to keep paying more and more for it? Like, do you want a self-driving car? Apparently, 55% of people do.
No. Really? I love to drive. I don't know if I
do
just...
Too.
I hate being a passenger.
You never drive
there.
On the Kennedy at 8 in the morning?
Not if I can help it.
If I were in rush hour, I'd want a self-driving car. That's a good point.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you can just hang out.
Get
it's like being
done.
On the Metro.
It's like being on a train. You can get your work done. You can take a nap.
I like it.
Pluck the nose hairs.
I don't know that I could take a nap in a self-driving car.
I wouldn't trust it that much. I think in time you'd have to get used to it. But at first it'd be like, all right, in a minute I'm going to crash. It's gonna turn on me.
Well, then there's questions about what car ownership will mean in this brave new world.
Right, because at that point you're on little metropods. Really,
I mean, it's really the Uberification, but without a driver.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, let's say you get a 4-person. Carpool hook up with a self-driving car, and then someone owns it and creates the service. It's like drones, but carrier drones.
Good times.
All right.
that's not nightmare bait. Good times. All right, so we got to take a quick break. We're talking with Robert Duffer. He is the guy at the Chicago Tribune who knows all about everything automotive, and he's hanging out at the Chicago Auto Show this week because it's basically the Super Bowl for you of auto times. So hang on. More of that fun. 312-981-7200 if you have an auto-related question for Rob Duffer. 720 WGN.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance.
Oh, good. Always a good one. 720 WGN. This is Red Eye Remix. I'm Amy Guth. We're hanging out with Robert Duffer. He's the Chicago Tribune's automotive expert guy, and he is answering all your auto-related questions. You can find all the stuff he's writing about and talking about at facebook.com/ChicagoTribuneCars or chicagotribune.com/auto. And he's hanging out all week at the Chicago Auto Show because there's so much cool stuff going on. So help us. Let's see. What else coming up? Because when you walk in there, it's just overwhelming with all this cool stuff. And everything is shiny and sparkly. And there's so much to do. Well,
and here are the numbers. So there's nearly 1,000 vehicles by 41 automakers spread over 1 million square feet of space. It is the largest auto show in the nation. It's the longest running auto show in the nation. This is the 107th year of its existence, and it's also the most well-attended, which is remarkable. And they do a lot of great programming. So one of the things the Chicago Auto Trade Associate, Auto Dealers Trade Association, also known as CATA, they put on the show. One of the things that their spokesperson said, Dave Sloan, was as of Thursday morning before the show even opened, they had sold 250,000 tickets.
Ooh.
And tonight being Valentine's Day, Saturday, opening day, Valentine's Day, in the past has been a down day for the show. It looked pretty happening tonight.
There were
a lot of couples, a lot of families. It was not overwhelmingly male. They have a firm that tracks their numbers, tracks mm-hmm. their demographics. And last year they claimed, and even Dave Sloan has said that he doubts the veracity of this number, but the attendance at the show is 54% women.
You know, I do believe it. I got to say, I kind of believe that. There's even a whole day devoted to, like Tuesday of this week coming up is Women's Day at the auto show. I will be there. There's some programming happening earlier in the day. I'll be there. I don't know. I'm supposed to introduce somebody talking about some stuff. It'll be good.
You should talk about some stuff. Are you going to look at some cars?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to look at some cars. There's a lot of cool. I haven't been, you know, keeping too close, you know, tabs on it so far. But I started kind of, as I've started to kind of poke around and look through it, there just looks like there's a lot of cool stuff and some ridiculous stuff, like some, like there's the Nissan Leaf painted in glow paint or something like that. That looks kind of silly.
There's the Dodge Viper GT. It's painted in like Easter egg pastel colors.
We're going to get that for Kate.
It's a wrap. You'd like it. The Nissan Leaf, there's a self-cleaning. They call it self-cleaning. It's not a self-cleaning. It's just a repellent paint.
Okay.
But it's not even a paint. It's an additive or something. I don't quite understand
it. I'm sure
it's
non-toxic and totally safe.
They were doing presentations before the show when it was during the press days, and they're pouring chocolate syrup on the side of it, and it just rolled off, beat it up and rolled off.
Weird.
Yeah. So that's something. And then there's that vehicle that will fill my nightmares for days and weeks to come. It's a SpongeBob, three-dimensional SpongeBob Toyota Sienna minivan.
But somebody, oh man, for the right person, they're going to see that SpongeBob minivan and go, oh baby.
The eyes are the windshield. Okay, there's a captain's steering wheel. There's the teeth on the hood.
Nope. No.
It's my daughter loves it.
Of course she does.
She went to the SpongeBob movie today, and she couldn't get enough pictures. So next week when I go with the kids, we'll be spending some time living the nightmare.
Monday is family day.
Monday is President's Day. It's also family day. Kids get in half off. So it's $6. Normally tickets are $12. I believe 7 to 12 is half of that, maybe.
Okay.
Half of a half.
And on Wednesday, if you bring 3 cans of food, it goes to the Safe Haven Foundation. You get a coupon for $6 entry. So you can get kind of a do-a-good-deed, get a deal entry.
Sweet.
On that day.
Nice. And there's, you know, there's a lot of cool things, like, if you're just looking for it. Now, I've spent plenty of time there, so maybe I'm looking into things.
Sure.
But the Ford truck display, which is massive, faces off across the aisle from the Ram truck display. So it's like the Jets versus the Sharks. West Side
it's
Story.
Kind of like bros doing the chest butt. What's up, bro? What? Yeah. Huh? What's up?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then in the Ford display for kids, I was really surprised tonight that there wasn't a line. There's these seven, they call them little truckers, or maybe I'm making that up, little drivers. But there's seven mini F-150s.
Cute.
That they're like battery powered, you know, and you can be like five. And there's an off-road course.
Oh, so the little ones are in there.
The little ones are driving. Turn it up.
Oh, that's fun.
And the dads and the moms are behind.
Like, yeah.
Dads and the moms are behind them, shoving it with their foot whenever it gets stuck. But the kids are having a blast. They're smiling. So there's a lot. There's a lot going on. There's food and drink.
Yeah.
There's some beer.
So you're there every week or every week, every day. That's this whole thing.
I'm taking a break tomorrow.
All right.
There's beer there.
Oh yeah.
You had me up here.
So I'll be there Tuesday.
There's also churros.
Bugattis and beer.
Oh, you have me at churros. I love churros. So I'll be there Tuesday. Kate, you come with me? You going to be there Tuesday?
Yeah, I could do it.
It's Women's
what time
Day.
Are you doing it?
I'm going to be there like 10 to 12:30.
Lady bro, I got a job.
Well, I do too. And
well, I'm just saying.
It's
like,
sending me there.
Yeah, your job is sending you there. My job will be like, nope.
Yeah,
I highly doubt you're going to get in and out in 2 hours.
All right, well, I'm just going to play then. Good times. All right, you can find all the stuff that he is doing on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Chicago Tribune Cars, or head to chicagotribune.com/auto. Read all the stuff that Robert Duffer is talking about for the auto show and all year long, because he is the guy that knows. Come back and visit us anytime, Duffer. Always a pleasure. We're glad you're here. Talk
nice.
About any car stuff. And you know what? Anytime the weather is cruddy, you come on and tell us what to do to keep our car safe and clean and happening and all that good stuff.
I will do that. I'm glad we didn't get a chance to talk about the Model S, the D.
Yeah. There's so much more. It's an unending topic.
Thanks for having me.
Certainly.